praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, provided by Living Stream Ministry, featuring the ministry of Witness Lee. Witness Lee was captured by the Lord Jesus as a young man of 19 in his native China. He consecrated his life to preach the gospel, and later labored side by side with Watchman Nee for parts of 3 decades, before eventually bringing this ministry to the West in 1962. He spent the next 35 years speaking to Christians in North America and all over the world before going to be with the Lord in 1997. The Life Study of the Bible is his most significant contribution to the heritage of biblical exposition, and we're delighted to be able to bring you short portions of his spoken ministry today. If you have questions or comments, or would like to find other Christians in your area enjoying this same ministry, just email us, radio@lsm.org. Again, that's radio@lsm.org. Here's today's program. Of all the Old Testament practices and rituals, perhaps the most important was the Passover feast. The Lord Jesus, in chapter 26 of Matthew, enjoyed the last Passover feast with his disciples, and he also instituted the first Lord's Table with his disciples. We're going to see these two feasts compared today in this life study from the book of Matthew, and Francis Ball has joined us. It's a marvelous portion, Francis, and I think if the Lord will shine his light, a lot of help for many of his people.
I hope and I expect, Chris, we'll see something fresh in these matters that we maybe never realized before.
We've come through now tremendous messages in these two chapters, Matthew 24 and 25, a series of parables, one after the other. Collectively, Francis, these parables show us the end times, the Lord's coming, and really the revelation of the kingdom of the heavens as it affects all people. The first verse in chapter 26 we're going to look at today begins this way. It says, "And when Jesus finished all these words, he said to his disciples, 'You know that after 2 days the Passover takes place, and the Son of Man is being delivered up to be crucified.'" Francis, there's a lot in these two verses, but let's just look at the first word. Why does he begin this chapter with "and"?
This word "and" in the beginning of this verse joins this chapter 26 to the previous chapters, 24 and 25. And there you have the prophecy concerning the Jews, concerning the believers, and concerning the Gentiles. And immediately after giving this prophecy of the kingdom, the Lord told his disciples that in 2 days the Passover was coming, and that the Son of Man was being delivered up to be crucified. That word "and" really is significant because it really joins these following chapters, 26 and 27, with the matters of the kingdom of the heavens that we saw in those previous chapters, 24 and 25.
Well, as we pointed out in the opening, what those parables are being joined to now, of course, is this last Passover feast to be taken by the Lord Jesus and his disciples, and the initiation of a new feast for the New Testament age, that is the Lord's table. There's a lot more in this chapter that I think our listeners will enjoy and appreciate, but we do want to focus on this today. Let's join Witness Lee now with this first portion, and then we'll be back to fellowship.
Now, we come to chapter 26, verses 1-2. "And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these words," right after the prophecy concerning this age, "he said to his disciples, 'You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man is being delivered up to be crucified.'" Here, the verse puts the two things together: the last Passover and the crucifixion of the Son of Man together. And this implies strongly that the Lord's crucifixion is the fulfillment of the Passover, and he himself was just the Passover lamb. Now, after this, from verse 3 through verse 16. It seems to me Christ himself as the Passover lamb, and as the Passover became a real test to all different peoples. Through the centuries, Christ has been all the time a test to all kinds of people. Whatever you are, you cannot be neutral. You must do something. You must react. And your reaction is according to your attitude toward this Passover lamb. He is a test to all the people. Number one, the opposing religious people were exposed. Then the second class of people, some people in religion hated him, but some people outside of religion loved him. And these lovers are Simon the leper and Mary and her sister Martha and her brother Lazarus. Then the third one, one of the disciples you could never believe, while the others were trying to love the Lord, Judas was trying to betray him. You see, the hating ones and the loving ones and also the betraying one. See? Now we must check with ourselves to what category of the three peoples we belong. Have you opened your home and spread a feast? Have you broken the alabaster jar and poured ointment over his body? We have to learn to love him in this way, in the uttermost way.
Well, Francis, the real Passover, the real Passover lamb became a test to all these people. Let me read a couple of these verses that he was referring to here at the end of his speaking. Verse 6 says, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of ointment of great value, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at table. But when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, 'Why this waste?'" A well-known story, Francis. Interesting to see it in its context here. Francis, he identified that the Passover became a test to all the people, the religious, these ones in this house in Bethany, and eventually even Judas. Say something about these categories that he talked about.
This particular time brings out in a very practical way what the real condition is, that even today we can never be neutral regarding Christ. Rather, whatever we are will be tested by him. And when you get the real setting here of the Lord here with his disciples, and you see religion is hating him, and there are those outside of religion who really love him. In this case, of course, Simon the leper has spread a table for him and has invited the disciples to come, and they're at Mary's house with Martha and with Lazarus. These are the lovers of Christ. And what you see here is not loving Christ for what he can do for them, but loving him for himself. There's no requirement on Simon to open his home and invite him in, but evidently Simon, the leper, he realized that Christ was going to die, and he took this opportunity to have this feast for him. And then also Mary, her love that's so evident here and has been mentioned according to the Lord's word for centuries, she poured out all this rich ointment upon his head, on his body. And of course it says she did it for his burial. That means she had a realization that he was going to die. So she poured out all that she had on him because of her love for him. You know, Chris, today I just have a feeling and a realization that so many dear people love the Lord Jesus for what he can do for them. But how many of us can say we love the Lord just for himself? And then you have this another category of people here, represented by Judas, who was betraying him. They were looking for the opportunity to show their love, and Judas is looking for an opportunity to betray him. Can you believe that? It's just hard to believe that there would be a disciple having been with Jesus for those 3.5 years now at the end. Here he is trying to betray him. So we have to realize we're in one of these three categories. And I just ask myself, Francis, where are you today? Are you a religionist? Underneath all this pretense, you're really hating the Lord? Or are you a lover of Christ that you could be willing to pour out everything for him? That's where I want to be, Chris. I tell you the truth. I want to be a person that loves Christ for himself. And I certainly don't want to be in Judas's category of betraying him in any way, in anything. So I believe what you've pointed out here, this really exposes where we are in relation to him.
Well, I want to be right there with you, Francis, spreading a table as Simon the leper did and being willing to break the box and pour the most precious thing we possess upon him. He's worthy of that and so much more than we could ever give him. Francis, I want to read the verse that you alluded to. You said how this part of the story has been told for centuries. Of course, the Lord gets to that himself after these ones were indignant at this seeming waste of the precious ointment upon him. Finally, in verse 13, the Lord says, "Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what this woman has done shall also be told as a memorial to her." It's a marvelous story that needs some development, I think, for us to really enter into the full appreciation of. I think we'll get that in this next section. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
All the Christians all know and all remember that this loving story was the story of Mary. Yes, the ointment was poured out by Mary, but the feast was not prepared by her. The feast was prepared in the house of the leper, Simon. And Simon the leper prepared the feast. Simon the leper, I do believe, got to be clear that the Lord was going to be killed. And that was the last chance that he surely had to grasp for a further intimate, loving contact with the Lord, with all his lovers. So he opened up his home, and he set up and spread the feast and invited the Lord and all his lovers. And at the same time, another disciple, a female, a sister, also had the consideration that was the only chance for her to do something on the Lord's body as a kind of ointment for the burial of his body. According to the Lord's testimony, the Lord Jesus testified Mary did that for his burial. And this proves what Mary did there was a sign that Mary understood what the Lord prophesied concerning his crucifixion. She took the chance to pour out her loving ointment upon his body. This shows a contrast between the religious people and the lovers of Jesus. The religious people hated him, seeking a chance to kill him, but the lovers took the opportunity to express their love toward him. I do believe this was the reason that the Lord Jesus charged the disciples. When they go out to preach the gospel, they also have to preach this loving story.
You know, Francis, you and I have talked on some of these messages in Matthew before, how many times the Lord went out of his way to point out to the disciples of his impending death on the cross and their slowness to pick it up. But here are these two, Simon the leper and Mary, who of course we know had such a sinful and sordid past, they saw and they took the chance. talk about that and why, of all the things and all the miracles that he accomplished in his earthly ministry, this event he specifically identified as the story that should be told along with the gospel. It's tremendous.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That is the story that he specifically said should be preached everywhere the gospel is preached. The story of the gospel is that the Lord loved us, and the story of Mary is that she loved the Lord. So we must preach both. We have to preach. The Lord loved us. He died for us. He wants us. But also we need to remember our loving the Lord is also exemplified and demonstrated by Mary's love here. You know, I have to ask myself, how is my love for the Lord? Do I love him because of what he can do for me, or do I love him because of what he is? And this is what needs to be preached more in the light of the gospel that is going out today. We need these two aspects, his love for us and our love to him.
Well, we began our program today by bringing up the Passover feast and the institution of the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, for the New Testament believers. That's really the focus of this last section. As we continue on now, we finish the feast in the house in Bethany with Simon the leper and Mary and Martha and these lovers. And the Lord goes further and calls his disciples to prepare for this final Passover. Let's join Witness Lee.
Now, from verse 26, we have the Lord's table. And the Lord's table established here. So here in this chapter are two tables, the table of the Passover and the table of the New Testament. The table of the Passover was the table of the Old Testament economy. Now, from verse 26, we have the table of the New Testament economy. The Passover was fully fulfilled. And the Passover was over up to verse 20. So the Lord told them that one of the 12 would betray him. And the betrayer was exposed. So the betrayer, Judas Iscariot, he left. After he left, the situation was cleared up. The false one was gone, and all the rest, 11, were the real one. Then, with the real one, the Lord established the table. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." In the Passover, they eat the meat of the lamb. But the Lord Jesus didn't take up the meat, the flesh of the lamb, but took the bread and broke it and passed it on to disciples and told them to take and eat. He said, "This is my body." Sure, you would say, "This is the Lord's body for me to eat. And whatever I eat, that's my nourishment. That's my nourishment." At the Lord's table today, when we see the bread, we have to realize that is the symbol of both his physical body and his mystical body. And this is why when we break the bread and eat it, we have the fellowship of the Lord's body. Why? Because all the members of his mystical body are represented here in this loaf. And this loaf does not only signify his physical body, but also his mystical body comprising all his members. We are enjoying Christ and the church. Amen. Christ and the church both are our food. Then, verse 27, taking the cup and giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood, of the covenant. This is the new covenant enacted by the blood of Jesus. His blood made a clear and full redemption for us, that all our sins were forgiven.
Well, Francis, here just prior to the Lord going to fulfill the fact that he was the real Passover and the fulfillment, he calls the disciples together to enjoy a Passover feast, the one that he did not partake of, the meat from, and then institutes on the same day, or at least the night of the same day, this first Lord's table, with a clear instruction to them that this should continue among all of his children, all of his New Testament redeemed believers, until he comes again. Compare these two tables that went on this incredible occasion.
Well, in this chapter, we do have two tables, the table of the Passover and the table of the New Testament. The table of the Passover, of course, was the main thing in the Old Testament economy. But the table of the New Testament is what we refer to as the Lord's table, the communion table. When the Lord took the Passover with his disciples there, they, of course, had the lamb that had been doing this for centuries. But now he doesn't pick up a part of the meat of the lamb, but he picks up the bread and he breaks it and gives it to them and says, "This is my body. Take and eat. This is my body." This means that this body that he was offering to God for our sins was his physical body, which was to go to the cross. But it also indicates that there is a mystical body of Christ, which is composed of all the believers. So in this particular feast, we need to realize there is the physical body of Christ, and there is also the mystical body of Christ. And for us to partake of this table means that we're enjoying Christ as our food. We're enjoying him as our life and nourishment. And we're also enjoying all the believers. We're one with all the believers. He went through a process of death and resurrection to be life to us. We also go through a process to be one, to be the loaf that's represented here by this loaf on the table. He didn't take a grain of wheat. He took a loaf. That means that he went through a certain process to become food to us. And we also are going through a certain process to be one with him and with one another. And that is what's displayed by realizing that this bread on the table also represents the mystical body of Christ, which means all the believers in Christ.
Mm. You know, Francis, the Passover lamb was something that the saints in the Old Testament economy enjoyed looking forward to the coming fulfillment. Of course, here the Lord says, as he institutes the table of the new covenant, "Do this in remembrance of me." One of the reasons why there was this replacing of the Old Testament Passover feast with the New Testament Lord's table, one looking forward, but now the fulfillment was there, the real offering of the Passover lamb about to take place. So our portion is now to look back in remembrance, not of his deed, but of him.
That's right. This is really the significance of this feast, and it's for our nourishment, just not for our mental remembrance, but our partaking of him and participating with him.
Yeah, that was very good, wasn't it? He said this became their food.
Yeah, right.
Our nourishment. Thank you, Francis, for your fellowship. I enjoyed it very much today. I wish we had more time. Our toll-free number is 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Or you can write to us, Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. Or send email to us, radio@lsm.org. For Francis Ball today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening. This program is brought to you by Living Stream Ministry, publisher of the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. To find out more, we invite you to visit our website, lsm.org. There you'll find more than 600 titles from both authors available online. You can also listen to recordings of Witness Lee's spoken messages and see the full array of material that Living Stream has to offer. Again, That's lsm.org. Thanks for listening today.
Can God's mercy reach me in my pitiful situation?
Not out of works in righteousness which we did, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. The Bible says that the grace of God brings salvation to man, and that we are justified by the grace of the Lord. But this verse says that according to His mercy, God saved us. God's mercy reaches farther than His grace. Our pitiful condition created a wide gap between us and God's grace. It was God's mercy that bridged this gap and brought us to His salvation of grace. Scripture, Titus chapter 3, verse 5, and commentary from the New Testament Recovery Version published by Living Stream Ministry. For more information, visit lsm.org.